Hello, this is Reverend Irvin.
It's a joy to say hello to you, greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, as we once again join for this time of shared worship. We're so glad that you heard the call of God to worship in this fashion each week. We feel that it assists you in becoming and continuing as a part of our congregation, our worshiping congregation. We hope that the past days, beautiful fall days, including some rain, have brought you much joy and peace, and that you felt the presence of God. We like to think that the Lord continues to open up ways that you can be of service to Him, calling a friend, writing a friend, or whatever. Whatever He opens to you, we hope He provides the strength for you to do. If you listen to this tape and share with your visitor, we hope that you receive some inspiration and that God's Spirit moves among you. And we pray that He will be close to you and will bless you in these coming days. Now I want to invite our boys and girls to come for a few moments, talk a little, and to be a member of this ding-dong group to come on down. We'll be glad to have all of you. Great. Sure nice to see all of you. Well, we're losing one. What do you know? Maybe you can listen back there. Okay. There's an old story about the lion. Have you ever seen a lion? You've been to a zoo or a circus where you've seen a lion? Kind of a big cat, isn't it? You have? Great. Well, anyway, this lion was in the jungle one day, and as a lot of these old stories go, he could talk. And he's a very proud beast, and he said, "Who's the greatest of all the animals?" And the little mouse said, "Well, you are, sir." And the little rabbit said, "You are, sir." Another small animal, the hyena, said, usually last, but he kind of cried this time and said, "You are, sir." And the lion went on down the jungle trail a little ways and shouted out again, "Who's the greatest of all the animals?" And there was an elephant standing there, and he just wrapped him up in his trunk and threw him about 50 yards, and the lion got up and shook himself, and he said, "Well, you don't have to get so mad if you don't know the answer to the question." And as a Christian, as Christian people, young people and Christian children, we ought to know the answer to some of the questions. Where do we turn when we're sad? We turn to God because God says, "Be of good cheer." Where do we turn when we need guidance? We turn to God because He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Where do we turn when we need to know how to treat other people? We turn to God because He said, "Love one another." So, we know the answers to the real important questions. Where do we turn? Who helps us when we have need? Who helps us when we're sorry? God, for He says, "I'll give you peace and comfort." So let's not be like that lion, get mad because somebody else doesn't know the right answer. Because as Christian young people and Christian adults, We know the answer to a lot of life's difficult questions. It's God. Thank you for coming this morning. Join now in prayer. Lord God, whose power and wisdom we have received from you, and through that power and wisdom have received life, and from whose love we have been offered the means of life's redemption, hear us now as we pray to you. As we worship together, let us see how we can better live when we follow your guidance and grow under your nurture. As we worship, let gratitude fill our hearts as we count our blessings and remember your mercies to us. We are people who have needs. We do not need more material things, but we need more spiritual things. We do not need more truth, we only need to heed the truth we already know. We do not need more things, we only need to do more to do the important things. We do not need more success, but we need success to succeed more in serving you and others. Breathe upon us today, O Father, a fresh comprehension of truth which will blow the staleness from our souls. Kindle in us a flame of love that will consume the emotions which create discord in our lives. Ignite in our hearts a faith which will shine through the windows of our lives to dispel darkness and doubt. As we share this hour together, make us conscious of tasks that need workmen, of lives that need help, of issues that need voices, and of burdens that need to be lifted. Make us aware of the wounds that need binding, the sorrow that needs solacing, and the faltering who needs strengthening. Make us conscious also of the strife that needs to be undone by peacemaking, of hatred that needs melting by love, and of despair that needs to be wiped away by hope. Will you in your love and power look to the needs of others? Send us to be agents of your healing power, if that be your will. And if you believe in us enough to further entrust your work to us. When this opportunity for worship and renewal, celebration, and encounter is ended, may our lives be touched with resources to meet the encounters of the life you have given. And now, our Father, as we share a silent moment of prayerful concern, will you look to the needs that we bring now to you? Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The opening verse of the 97th Psalm, "The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice." That verse is echoed many times in various ways throughout the scriptures, and probably comes to a climax in the last book of the Bible, in the 19th chapter, where it reads, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." Bishop Wheatley tells about the time he was in London, and during the while he was there, one of London's famous fogs descended upon the city, and he stopped in a restaurant to eat, and as he was waiting for his meal, he said to the waiter, "What kind of weather can we expect tomorrow?" Without even glancing up, without even looking out the window, the waiter replied, "Oh, tomorrow will be bright enough." And Bishop Wheatley said that upon reflection, that the waiter's reply was not so much a prediction as it was a declaration of faith. It's an affirmation which Christians might well keep in mind and use every day of their lives. Tomorrow will be bright enough. One of the core beliefs and affirmations of the faith is just that. It expresses a reasonable confidence in God, in the Father whom Jesus knew and trusted and whom he made known to us. It's a reasonable confidence, and yet it's restrained, as it should be. It's not an optimistic prediction that everything's going to be bright and rosy and cheerful, but only that everything will be bright enough. And the waiter's comment is a reflection of a hopeful but a realistic view of human life, of human experience, and of your experience too. As a Christian views the future, he does with a very hopeful outlook and yet with a restraint. In the past couple of generations, the ecstatic optimism which was so prevalent in Western culture is nearly gone. That optimism said that progress was inevitable, and the things were going to get better and better and better. Just couldn't help but get better. But we know that life, like London, has its fogs. And Christian realism has never denied that stormy weather sometimes overtakes the inhabitants of the earth. There's trouble here, there's disease, there are accidents which shatter and which destroy. There are friends who vanish, or even worse, betray. There are dreams that are crushed into fragments. There is lawlessness in high places. And you name it, the storms, the gloom, and the fog seems all around us. Someone said one time, the good ain't able, and the able ain't good. And life is a mixture of pain and health, of heartache and happiness. And yet this remains an astonishing Christian certainty and affirmation. Tomorrow will be bright enough. Tomorrow will be bright enough to rally your spirits today. Bright enough to go about today's task believing in the supreme guide who makes all things work together for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. Now, I'm not suggesting a streamlined version of the old secular liberal optimism. Do you believe that tomorrow will be fair because of man's great skills? Do we still cling defiantly to the faith that despite disconcerting setbacks, that the old escalator marked progress is taking us ever upward? Well, the Christian answer to questions like these is a blunt and to some people an unreasonable no. Nevertheless, tomorrow will be bright enough is an important and vital Christian truth. Christian confidence, though, in a bright tomorrow, is not secular hope wearing Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. All human effort on behalf of better life is not doomed to failure. We can do things. But it's necessary to reject partial views. Even the weather forecasters base their predictions on more than one day of storms. And if we judge our life by 1 hour of storm, one day of gloom, a week of tragedy, travelers by airplane know that a few minutes of travel can change the entire picture. What if a pilot focused on the fog and the inclement weather which might shroud the airport where he's taking off and not recognize that the port of his destination is clear and sunny? He might not even take off. Do you feel defeated vocationally? Does your job seem to be scraping against rocks you never imagined that you were near? Are you depleted emotionally? Have recent personal experiences and loss left you unable to cope with life? Has it gloom settled in around you? It may be that you're only concentrating on one experience, one of the factors in your whole experiences. Perhaps you need to think wider if the road ahead seems to be all shrouded in darkness. Perhaps you ought to think about taking another road. Let us affirm that we will find enough light ahead that the darkness will be sufficiently shattered for us. Let us affirm that there will be at least intervals when the fog will be dispelled. Let us not focus on fragments of our experience. I know one lady. I've known several people over the years who focus in on her own pain, on their own pain, and they live miserable lives and shrouded in darkness. We should not extract from the sights and sounds only that which is fearsome and threatening, and yet so many people seem to want to do that. Children do that often. Sometimes at night, children hear only the strange sounds, forget the familiar furniture and the friendly people nearby. Perhaps this is why long ago a familiar litany was composed. From ghoulies and ghosties and things that go bump in the night, good Lord, deliver us. But even focusing on the total picture is insufficient to support the affirmation, tomorrow will be bright enough. There is further foundation for such a confidence. In our day-to-day life, how can we be sure that tomorrow will be bright enough for us to live fruitfully and abundantly? Well, the basic reason for such an affirmation is found in the claim of the psalmist and repeated time and time again in the scripture. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad, let the earth rejoice. Now, what does this mean in the 20th century? Well, we who are so accustomed to rhyme, reason, mechanical, computer monsters, what it means is that God is operating within your life, within our lives. God is no absentee ruler. He is active and operating right now, right here, right in your own experience. We have the foundation of confidence affirmed by the experience of the people of God through the centuries. No people other than Christians have made such an impact on the world as have the Christian people, the people of God, when they were acting under the living presence of God. If people submit to discourage, act jittery, uncertain, it is usually because their idea of God is insufficient. I know that's harsh judgment, but I think that's generally the case. If you're discouraged constantly, if you're nervous all the time, if you're anxious all the time, your God just isn't big enough. J.B. Phillips implies a question in the title of an excellent book, Your God is Too Small. Now, a person's faith, a person's religion, is only as great as its God. A complex and a hard problem requires a great God to provide light in which to find the solutions. Your religious faith is only as great and as magnificent as you allow your God to be great and magnificent. If you've got a small God, then you're in trouble. Our faith takes the whole world as its parish. It proclaims a worldwide redemption. It asserts that the church must be all-inclusive, with its cure and its fellowship reaching to the last and the least. Only a great concept of God started and sustained such an enterprise. And only a mighty concept of God can make that credible today. If you have doubts, timidities about the future, it may very well be to your inadequate picture, inadequate understanding of the greatness of God. You probably are making God too much like yourself. Our God is a great God, a king above all gods. The Lord reigns. That's our confidence. And let's face it, no magnified man, person, is equal to the transformation of which the gospel speaks. A vision of the supremacy of God and a conviction of divine direction rescues us from the common failings of people. The delusion that the triumph of God depends on us. God has said, ask of me and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. The Almighty God has said that, but we really don't believe and expect him to do it. Ask of me and I will give you everything. In this instance, he says, the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. The closing verses of Mark. Then the Lord was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went everywhere. They, the disciples, went everywhere. What a marvelous picture that is for us today. The Lord reigning in power, and his servants out in the fields, going everywhere. This vision of God produces the same effect for all ages. It enables people to say with Calvin that the worst things were the more firmly he grasped his sword to the glory of God. Robert Morrison was asked, do you expect to convert China? Morrison said, no, but I expect God will. And that expectation, though unfulfilled, will someday become a reality. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad, and let the church rejoice. Now, your days ahead may be laden with hardships and difficulties. Greater is he that is with us than all that is arrayed against us. And I hope the truth of this can walk into your lives today. To realize that God is supreme and can dissipate the fog of uncertainty, the gloom of pain, to realize that God is the antidote to fretfulness and agitation of your soul. You are free, yet every man's life falls into a plan which God has. We can choose, we can make momentous decisions within wide limits. But still, God compasses our path and our comings and our goings. He knows our ways. He orders our steps. And this shouldn't make us listless, inactive, or piously resigned to conditions as they are in our personal lives or in the larger world. Let it rather make us glad. God is holy. He is loving. He is the center of authority. Now, you can't understand why a holy and loving God permits trials and pains to come, frustration, tragedy, and bereavement. When they come, What shall we say to them? Just this, and this only. The Lord reigns. The Lord is King. The Lord is God. The Lord gives his love to us, and that love supports us, keeps us, and guides us, though we may not even be aware of it. In truth, in God, whatever today is, tomorrow will be bright enough. For the Lord reigns. Let the earth and let his people rejoice. Let us pray. O Lord, our Father, when the fogs of life come, remind us that you dissipate that fog and give us strength through your love and through your Spirit to know that the hour ahead, the days ahead, will be bright enough for us to continue to serve, will be bright enough to call forth from us a deeper dedication to your way. Let us affirm that you reign, that you are powerful, and that you are active in our hearts, in our lives, each day, each hour, each moment. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 Amen.